This is CliffCentral.com.
She's here, everybody. It's time for Anthea and the Money. The Money Shot. The instrumental version. We were hoping Mabali would start singing, but she's not in the mood today.
How would I sing Anthea's song? If anybody should sing, it's Anthea.
Da, da, da. All right, everybody.
She worked hard for the money. So hard for it, honey.
Yeah. She works hard for the money, so you better treat her right. Here she is. Good morning, Anthea.
That was just the acceptable level of atrocious.
Yeah, well, it has to be. Have you ever heard Anthea's song done well? Only Donna Summer does it properly.
Indeed.
Okay, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Very good.
Good. How's our money looking this week?
Yeah, I know. We're having a good run, hey?
Oh,
so it looks like the Santa Claus rally has started already.
Excellent.
Early start. That's very nice. So the market
Jingle bells.
0.75% on Friday. Industrials had a good run. Naspers outperformed Tencent in China. So Tencent was down. Naspers was up about 2%. So that's good to see.
How did that happen?
Well, just sometimes we have a bit of positivity. And actually, Naspers is trading at such a discount at the moment that I can see why traders would want to be buying it. I know, if I didn't have so much of it, I definitely would be buying more of it.
Okay.
And in fact, one of our listeners asked us about the investment thesis for Naspers and whether we should be buying. And I would say absolutely. You know, at their last results, year on year, in constant currency, they grew by 11% in the first half quarter. I mean, there were a couple of issues, like the development spend was up 42%, also in constant currencies year on year. So that's quite difficult. But generally speaking, you know, they're focusing on these online classifieds. They're tending to now, what's the word I'm looking for? They're almost monetizing their previous investments. So they sold off Allegro a while ago for a nice profit. And then they're still building. So they've acquired Avito. They've merged with Ibibo and Letgo, which is like a competition for Craigslist in the U.S. And you know Craigslist really haven't gone anywhere. It was all very exciting in the beginning, but now it's kind of going nowhere.
Right.
So DSTV, the pay TV stuff, not doing so well in sub-Saharan Africa, which is a shame. But then 18 out of the 23 businesses, kind of like the private equity style businesses that they've invested in, finally turned a profit. Hmm. So, yes, the investment case for Naspers is still very much intact. And at these levels, like fill your boots, basically, I would say.
It's a sale. It's a deal. It's one of those Christmas specials.
It is a bit, actually. And then financials did quite well on Friday. Resources were under a bit of pressure. The index was down 1%. Big news on Sibanye Gold, unfortunately. The share closed 15% down.
Oof.
I know. And this is because they announced that they were buying a mine in the U.S. or a company in the U.S. called Stillwater Mining.
Uh-huh.
And Neil Froneman, the CEO, basically, like you've got to like his logic, because he said, actually, the political environment in South Africa has caused the commodity shares to trade at a significant discount to their international peers. So he can do one of two things. One, he can change the political environment, which, quite frankly, I think it's hard to do.
Nobody
and he realizes
that,
right? Or he can improve exposure to high-quality assets in the rest of the world, which is exactly what he's done. So the market cap of Sibanye Gold is 26 billion rand, but on Friday, it actually fell below that, and they need to issue or they need to raise capital. So that's why the share's fallen, because they're obviously going to increase their debt to earnings, or their, I should say, debt to EBITDA ratio. In fact, they've said they're going to have a 2x net debt to EBITDA ratio, which implies that they're going to raise $1.3 billion in debt. And they've said they're going to do a rights issue, in other words, issue more shares, to the tune of $750 million, potentially even $1 billion.
Would that mean, if you thought that Sibanye was a good business, if you thought the fundamentals were in place, would that mean that this might be a good time to buy them?
Yeah, I think so. So there's a couple of
issues. And you normally
don't
like gold shares?
No. I'm not sure that Stillwater has the synergies that that Neil normally looks for in other companies. So, you know, when he's been acquiring in the past, he's bought companies or mines at a discount and then brought them into his portfolio so that he can extract synergies. I'm not sure it's the same with Stillwater. So he already said that actually the existing management company in Sibanye don't have the skill in mechanized mining that they need at Stillwater, so he's going to do what he needs to keep the management team there going. We do have an exposure in hashtag invest in the aggressive portfolio of 3.5%.
Even the Heidi does approve of that. They love that.
Yeah, so I'm counting on Neil's a good, Froneman's a good operator. I think it's going to be a bit volatile short-term leading up to this rights issue.
Okay.
But yes, we're betting on it again.
Can I throw this question in from Stephen? He says, morning, Gareth and team. Please ask Anthea about Aspen. All my shares are performing except for Rhodes and Aspen. I understand the Rhodes scenario, but Aspen should be trading at around 320 randish.
Yes. So Aspen was one of my top calls in November when I had to do a presentation, and it's been very disappointing. They did have an issue in Venezuela where they wrote down the entire business, but that's now completely out of the books. It's a difficult one. I'm not sure why the market is not liking it at the moment. I love it. For me, it's one of my top picks. So it's like the Steinhoff experience we've had recently where I love it, the market doesn't agree with me. But, you know, I'm always reminded that the market doesn't know that I have a spreadsheet and I've put in these numbers and I've decided that the share price should be, in Aspen's case, 300 Rand.
The market doesn't care about you.
They don't care about my spreadsheet. So I think it's a bit of a sentiment thing, and I'm just going to have to be patient.
All right.
As you are, Stephen.
All right, so Stephen, just hang in there. You wouldn't do anything with it, though. You wouldn't sell or buy. You just
I'm buying. I'm a buyer.
Oh, so you would want
I'm
more.
An absolute buyer.
Oh, okay, yeah. Stephen.
At these levels.
Then Anthea says you're on a gold mine. Just sit there. All right.
Indeed. And then we had somebody ask us about, or email me, and ask about Taste Holdings. And it's because we spoke about Starbucks last week, I think. Dudley says, I was watching Morning Finance News program a few weeks back, and they were discussing Starbucks as a company to back. He says, it makes sense that they should grow in South Africa and worldwide over time. I see they are part of Taste Holdings. What are your thoughts regarding investing with them? Sure. So when I talk about Starbucks generally, I talk about the offshore portfolio, and I don't think that South Africa has the coffee culture or the footfall required to make Starbucks great, like an absolute no-brainer kind of share to buy. So Taste Holdings did bring Starbucks to South Africa, but they also own Domino's, Fish and Chips, Zebros, NWJ, and Arthur Kaplan Jewelers. So it's kind of a company that sits in that middle to lower LSM bracket, and I think it's a consumer that's under a lot of pressure at the moment. The last time Taste reported interim results, their revenue increased by 9%, but their operating loss widened by 32%. So they don't pay a dividend. It's a company that's cash-strapped. It's a company it's a loss-making company, you know. Would I be buying Taste Holdings just to get exposure to Starbucks South Africa? No, I'm afraid not.
All right.
Sorry, Dudley.
Bad news for them.
Yeah.
Anthea says, not now.
Yeah. Their time will come, though. That's what it is, you know, if they get it right, if they operate properly.
Now, can I ask you something about hashtag invest? Because people ask me questions, and then I'm in no position to answer some of them because I'm not an advisor, and I don't want people to think that I am. When it comes to getting into the market, when it comes to buying your first share portfolio, putting some money into stocks, is there a perfect time?
No. So, unless you have a crystal ball, there is no way of timing the market. People always do that. They go, oh, it looks like things are difficult. Should we be out of the market? But even in 2008, even Warren Buffett wasn't out of the market. Even he wasn't sitting in cash. And it's impossibly difficult to time. So I know you got asked this question last week, right? Mm. So what happens if you put, like our clients, if they now invest in hashtag invest and we have a 2008,
yeah.
What then?
Yeah.
So what if we don't? Like, then you miss out on the rally. So, like, let's just look at it. Like, I mean, you can slice and dice the market timing any way you want to, but just for convenience. Let's look at it from 2000. If you'd been invested in the market from 2000, the year 2000, to 2008, you would have made 300%. So that's all right.
Hello.
Eh? Then came 2008, huge crash, market goes into depression, and our market falls in a couple of months 46%. So now nobody wants to fall, like their portfolio to decline by 46%.
Mm-hmm.
What if you hadn't been in the market then? Actually, if you'd stayed out of the market, you would have then missed out on another 200% rally. So between 2000 and now, the market's up 530%.
Jeez.
And could you have timed it? And that's even with the 46% crash in 2008.
Wow.
So, exactly.
Perspective is everything.
There you go.
And okay.
So the downside, I guess, is that if you had to retire in 2009, you'd been saving all your life, come 2008, 2009 crash, and your portfolio suddenly 46% less than it was a year ago. You'd be upset about it, and sure, that's not great. But if you'd waited 2 years, the market would have been back to that exact same level pre-2008. And when you retire, nobody withdraws all their money at once.
Yeah.
So I get it. And that's why we've designed four portfolios. So we've designed a portfolio that is all bonds. So it's safe, it's yielding, and the idea there is that if you're closer to retirement, then you just get, you know, it'll just be steady. It's capital preservation kind of very much top of my mind when I'm looking at that portfolio,
mm-hmm.
and you'll probably receive your interest every year. Maybe at this stage, it's about 7-8%, right?
All right, so that's the safer one for people who need a kind of income.
Safe income
right.
going forward, who don't want to lose their capital.
Got you.
But if you want to be invested in shares, then we've got the aggressive or the growth and income portfolio, or balanced portfolio as I call it. And if you've got time, then these are the kind of returns you can expect. Your 530% over whatever 13 years or so may it be.
And who doesn't want that? That means for every rand you get?
530 times.
Just to explain to okay. you know, that's fairly significant increase. And of course, if it does go down, then you do stand the possibility of having that 2008 40-something%
yes, but
decrease.
Imagine it goes down and you withdraw your money and then you miss out on this 200% rally. Like, what are you trying to do?
You're just going to sit there. Consider it a lifelong passion project.
Or a very long-term one.
Certainly. I mean, you know, if you don't need that money right now, and there are some people who don't, you want to invest it, get in now.
But it's the little bit. And if you don't invest your money, you know that your money is worth less because there's something called inflation.
Yeah, that's it. So if you just have cash under your mattress,
on average,
you're going to become less valuable.
In that 2000 to now period, you would have lost 12% per annum. So every year, your money's worth 12% less. So I'd rather be in the stock market and I'd rather be invested than sitting with cash under the mattress.
Thank you, Anthea. You've helped me explain things.
My pleasure.
Anything else you want to throw in?
No.
That's it.
That's
enough homework for us for today.
Exactly. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. Anthea Gardner with a look at the markets on a Monday morning.
This is CliffCentral.com.